الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والشمس وضحاها والقمر إذا تلاها والنهار إذا جلاها والليل إذا يغشاها والسماء وما بناها والأرض وما طحاها ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها. كذبت ثمود بطغواها إذ انبعث أشقاها فقال لهم رسول الله ناقة الله وسقياها فكذبوه فعقروها فدمدم عليهم ربهم بذنبهم فسواها ولا يخاف عقباها. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين، لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم، ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين، إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون. فما يكذبك بعد بالدين؟ أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين؟ الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
کے لیے بھی اللہ ان حضرات کو جزائے خیر عطا فرمائے. بزرگوں, یہ ہمارے لیے بڑی خوش قسمتی ہے کہ بزرگان دین کے نقش قدم پر چلنے والی ہستی حضرت مولانا ابراہیم صاحب پانڈو دامت برکاتہم العالیہ, جو ہمارے سارے بزرگوں کے نمونہ اور ان کے منظور نظر ہیں, ہمارے ادارے میں کئی بار تشریف لا چکے ہیں. اللہ ان کے برکات سے ہمیں مالا مال فرمائے. جزاک اللہ فی الدار الخیر.
Inshallah, after remaining salah, all the brothers are requested to come near the member. Inshallah, our guest of honors, Maulana Ibrahim Sahib, is here, so please do come near and listen to the talk, inshallah. Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam, tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram, rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم عنا ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da ma ba'd. Respected ulama, mashayikh, elders, hukam of Qari Abdullah sahab, been asked to say a few words introducing our esteemed speaker today. Allah Almighty says in the Quran al-Kareem, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah wa kunu ma'as-sadiqeen. That all believers attain complete taqwa, awareness and cognizance of Allah Almighty, Allah Ta'ala. And He also gives us a formula in order to help us achieve this, which is وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ, that remain with those who are truthful. Remain those who are truthful, who's also polished their hearts. When we look into the lives of our mashayikh and our kabir and our elders, we see that from time immemorial, our kabir and our elders spent time with some sheikh, spent time with some ulama, in order to remove the radail and the negative traits from the heart, and to purify the heart and bring into all the fadail and the positive traits. This has been the way of our mashayikh from before. Alhamdulillah, many of our masajids have the alim class. I understand when Ibrahim Sahib said there's an alim class that takes place here. There's numerous alima classes that take place here. But one thing that we see up and down the country, one thing that we see across the world, is that there's another science. There's a science in addition to the learning of Shariat, in addition to learning of Arabic, in addition to learning of Quran and Tafsir, which is a science of the heart, Tazkiyatul Qulub. Allah Almighty in the Quran al-Kareem, He mentions the terms of reference, the objectives of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's ba'sat and sending into the Ummah. He mentions, He says, وَالَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ, that Allah Almighty sent, you know, just paraphrasing or showing a short conclusion of the verse, that Allah Almighty sent within the Ummah a prophet from amongst them who recites upon them the Quran al-Kareem, upon them the verses, and purifies them. And number three, يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابُ وَالْحِكْمَةِ, that He teaches them the book and He also teaches them wisdom. So we understand from this that the recitation of the Quran, we understand from this understanding the Quran, the fiqh, understanding the tafsir, understanding the hikmat and the wisdom, the hadith, the sunnah, the fiqh, all of this comes in. But there's also another science beyond this, which is the science of the heart. How do we bring the amal into our actions? How do we go and polish ourselves? Everything has a finishing school. You go to university, they say that, you know, there's a sandwich course. You do 2 years, then you put you in for training, work experience for a year. And then you go on, and then you finish your fourth year, and then you go into the market. And they say that the 1 year that you do is equivalent to 4 years, 5 years inside the workplace. There's a finishing school that you bring, the knowledge that you've gained, you bring into actions. And that's why our Kabir used to say, as Mawlana Ashiq Ilahi Sahib, Buland Shahi Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, that there's three institutes, three idaras that are important within Islam. One is the masjid, the second is the madrasa, and the third is the khanka, the purification of the heart. And throughout history, it's been the case that the ulama and even the awam, they would go and spend some time in order to learn how to gain taqwa, the cognizance of Allah Almighty. And they would travel far and wide looking for a sheikh. But in this day and age, alhamdulillah, Allah Almighty has blessed us. He's blessed the people of the Midlands, Walsall, blessed the people of the UK. He's blessed us with a person who is Sohbat Yafta, a person who has spent time in the company of the Mashaykh. Our Hazrat Mawlana Ibrahim Sahib, who's amongst us, without any effort for us, you know, after Isha we're here, we're able to access somebody who's had that opportunity of spending time with the Mashaykh. He's an individual who spent 19 years, as Baqawli Hazrat Mawlana Salim Sahib, Damat Barakatum, today at the IDA, he said that he became the shadow of the shadow of Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh, and gained Khilafat from Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Alayh and Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. But on top of that, staying firm on the way of the Mashaykh all the way. Allah Almighty has given us this tawfiq to spend some time, and it's all about not just listening to the bayan itself, but about finding and doing some soul searching. What is our objective in life? Which direction are we going in? Sometimes we slip, we just got to get back up again. Sometimes we stumble a little bit. We just need to straighten our shoes, tie our laces a little bit, get moving again. And we all fall a little bit sometimes. But how do we get ourselves back on? How do we correct ourselves? How do we bring the noor and the polish into our heart so that when the time comes and death comes, then we come in front of Allah Almighty with a polished heart, with a heart that's doing the dhikr of Allah Almighty, and so that the marahil and the different stages in the hereafter become easy for us. I won't speak anymore, it'd be audacious for me to do so. I'll conclude at this much. Wa akhiru da'wan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allah gives us a tawfiq to understand and gain some sort of benefit from this. We pray to Allah Almighty that He gives me the tawfiq to understand this first and foremost, and everybody else. Wa akhiru da'wan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم اما بعد الله سبحانه وتعالى has blessed us with a very great gift that is called iman, and the person who is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the gifts he has blessed us with, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says lan shakartum lazidannakum. The person who thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the blessings Allah has showered us with, Allah will increase the blessings upon us. We know iman is the greatest gift which Allah subhanahu has given to us, because without iman you cannot enter Jannat at all. No matter how much good work you can do, you've got no iman, it won't give entry into Jannat. But if you've got iman, whatever little work you do, also you still go to Jannat, you can go. So there's a guarantee for a person to go to Jannat, but a person has got iman within himself. So iman is a great gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we got a very great gift, and try and nurture that gift Allah has given to us. Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ali explained, he says, to show the gratitude of iman which Allah has given to us, first is to nurture the iman with good actions, good deeds. The more good deeds you put in your life, the more your iman will get stronger and stronger it will get. The first point, you go to nourish your iman with good deeds. Second point, he says, that must always have the concern of your death and the qabr. And the fourth point, you said, don't oppress anybody. So show some how important iman is. Then you got to nurture iman with good actions, good deeds. And what are good deeds? Those things that Nabi Kareem started explaining to us, those are good deeds. To read our 5 times namaz daily, punctually read our 5 times namaz on time. At the same time, they cloud the Quran also, keep rozas also, and like the wealth of Hajj also, keep the discharge of Zakat also. These are the things of virtue which we got to adopt in our lives to secure our iman. Together with that, we'll find other things, other branches of deen also which we got to practice upon also. For example, to have respect for our elders, to be kind to those who are younger than us, and at the same time, respect our parents. All these are all the other branches of iman which you got to look after also at the same time. The more we follow on this type of the actions that Nabi Sallam has explained to us, the more we find our iman becoming strong, more firm it is becoming. Small deeds Nabi Karim explained to us. For example, to have a smiling face, it was the sadaqah it is. To give charity to somebody also will boost your iman, to distinguish the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the same time, whatever work you want to do, you can't understand what to do, and consult somebody who is experienced in that field. If you can't do that also, then make istikhara to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how to use the uses of our tongue is very, very important to understand how to use our tongue. The tongue is an ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot use the tongue how we please to use. No, Allah ta'ala explains us, that's how we can use the tongue. If Allah requests permission, we use the tongue in those avenues only. So that shows that we have shown the gratitude of the nevet of the tongue Allah has given to us. You cannot swear anybody with the tongue. You can't use bad language with the tongue. And you cannot make false promises with the tongue. And you cannot curse anybody with the tongue. All the things that Nabi Sallam explained to us how to look after our tongue. It comes in the hadith also, don't speak such words that tomorrow you're going to regret or ask for forgiveness from somebody. So these are the small teachings that we can explain to us, which will benefit us to secure our iman. The more good work we do, the more we'll secure our iman. When a person's heart is clean and pure and turned towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then for him to do good actions becomes very easy for him. But once the heart becomes dirty, becomes filthy, now the good actions becomes very difficult for a person to do. So we could keep our heart clean at all times, and keep our heart clean at all times, then it becomes difficult, it becomes very easy for us to make good actions. Then second point, that mentioned was to think of death all the time, think of the akhirat all the time. Just tasawwur akhirat is a very great gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Sahib explained to us, the more you think of death, the less you have love for this world will have. And the more you think of death, the more encouragement you get to do more good work also at the same time. So encourage to do good work by thinking of death all the time. It comes in hadith that grave announces daily that the person's got iman within himself. He said, come, I'm waiting for you. The day you pass away, the grave will welcome you. I said, see, I was waiting for you so long to come to me. See how nice I will treat you today now. The gate will expand and the doors of Jannah will open up and a benefit from the breeze of Jannah will be a benefit. And other person has got no iman with him, makes kufr and guna, the grave will say, I was waiting for you long to come to me. See today how I will treat you today now. And the grave will come tighter and tighter, so much so that the ribs will be squeezed one and one another. And the doors of Jahannam will be open for him to bear the punishment of Jahannam in the grave already. So it shows that the tasawwur akhirah, which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has put forward to us, is a great gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. So encourage us to do more good work also. And at the same time, don't oppress anybody. When you oppress somebody, then their du'as are being always accepted. When you oppress somebody, you hurt their feelings, and the curse come out from the heart, and the curse, you can't get safe from the curse also. So don't ever oppress anybody or violate anybody's rights at any time. This also is a part of how you can be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the iman that is given to us. So it's iman is a base of our iman. So now, if we see further, we'll say now, when how we were born, how iman came to us. You make a little bit of muraqab and think, how did iman come to us? Did it come to us easy or difficulty? How did iman come to us? If a child is born in a Muslim home, what happens then? The mother is prepared to give milk to the small child, but she won't give milk to the small child till the father can give azan in the ears and iqamat in one ear. She let the child cry for a little bit, bear a little bit, have patience a little bit, but first then the father will plant the seed of iman in the tender heart of the child. When the father will give azan in one ear, iqamat in one ear, iman is planted into the heart, now she'll make tahniq for the child. And now give you milk, no problem now. So how they looked after our iman from small ones were born. At the same time, we never give any application to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, any request to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us iman. Iman came to us when we were born already. So this is a great ne'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Furthermore, as we grew up in the home, our parents were reading namaz, and all our siblings reading namaz in home, they make tilawat of the Quran at home, they sing, make salam at home, saying inshallah, mashallah, alhamdulillah, we listen to all as we're growing up, we listen to all the environment, and as we grow up, we start doing the same thing, start following the same thing now. Isn't this a great ne'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We cannot deny this ne'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those persons who got no iman with how difficult it is for them. When they accept Islam, they have their family shun them away. They have difficulties, they took a cut from all family, and they have so much of difficulty to undergo. Yeah, Allah Ta'ala made us born as Muslims, and so much of ease and comfort, and then too we don't value that iman that's given to us, instead something which is ungrateful of us. So we got to understand that iman is very valuable for us and came to us with a lot of difficulties also at the same time. Once in Masjid Nabawi, Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu was sitting and was very happy and enjoying himself. One sahabi came to Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu and asked him, why are you so happy today? Can't I join you in your happiness also? He said, no, happiness is concerned to me only, not for everybody, my happiness only. So if you're in your happiness also, your individual happiness also, whatever it is, can't I join your happiness? So he explained to him, I'm happy because I'm thinking over the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the gift Allah has blessed me with, I'm pointing over that, I'm shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm thinking to myself, he said, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves people to go to Jannah. And those people who love to go to Jannah, He bless them with iman before them. So say, now I'm thinking to myself now, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to have a system where he should choose somebody from his creation to do this work, to distribute iman amongst people, what's the situation? Nabi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should choose, definitely choose Nabi Kareem Salaam, the best of creation, should choose him for distributing iman. And now Nabi Kareem Salaam should start distributing iman now. First he gives to his own family people, he gives to distribute iman. Then to his relatives he gives iman. Then he gives to his tribe iman. Then next tribe, till whole the area of Makkah Mukarrama has got iman. Then go to the next town after that. So the whole Arabia got iman, then go to the next country like to distribute iman like that. And I don't even know that iman should ever come to me after Abyssinia. By that time, will I be alive or maybe someone will be alive or not? I don't know. Something how Allah is so kind that kept the distribution of iman in his own hands, Allah kept. And whom he loves, he pleases with iman. I mean, shukr Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the distribution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with iman. And then you think that after Allah blessed with iman, and how Allah blessed with iman also. He brought from Abyssinia, Prophet Makkah as a slave, working hard, difficult conditions, everything. But when iman entered my heart, I was being persecuted. I bore all that persecution I bore with myself. And after that, Allah brought me to Madina Munawwara. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu understood the manshah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and bought me for my master and freed me. And then brought me and came to Madina Munawwara. From Madina Munawwara, Allah blessed me of becoming the first muazzin of Islam. Allah blessed me to become the khadim of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam to look after his visitors. So much other response I got, and so much so that I stand the same stuff. The Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar read namaz behind Nabi Karim, I stand the same stuff with him. What great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is this what upon me? I'm thinking about the point of the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how Allah blessed me with this iman. And that's why he spends more time in remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and being sincere to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's how he lived his life. So we can understand from here how iman came to us also. We ponder a little while. Just think for a little while, how did iman come to us? Iman started then, Madina Munawwara started now. Sahaba in Madina Munawwara when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they never have any feelings of separating themselves from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Always Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Listen to what the Prophet Islam tells them to do. And read namaz of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam behind him in Jamaat also. What a great honor they had with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were not surprised always at all. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, go into the four corners of the world and spread the word of iman. Spare Islam to everybody. The Sahaba said to put a stone onto the heart and to leave Madina Munawwara now. And they went to different corners of the world. Some went walking, some went on animals, traveling into the jungles, into the desert they traveled. Hot, the heat, the rain, the wind, the cold, everything they bore, everything, just to pass a message to everybody. From them, some came to India, from where we normally come from. Our great forefathers, some has accepted Islam, some has not accepted Islam, some has troubled them, whatever it is. Eventually, slowly, as Islam came into our families, then our grandfathers, fathers came to the area, and we are Muslims today. So iman never come to us just like that. It came with difficulties to us. Understand the difficult how iman came to us, we build that iman, and make effort to look after the iman, secure iman, iman can get weak at any time. It is our responsibility to see that iman came, but difficulty to us also. Our forefathers never bear the difficulties to accept iman and be steadfast on iman. Where should we be today? Our forefathers that came here to open, they built a masjid, for example. They built the madrasa, maktab they built, and today we are benefiting from their sacrifices. They left a legacy behind for us. And today we talked, our forefathers came so many years ago and they did this for us. What are we doing today? So to think, what are we doing today? After 25, 30 years, what are people going to say concerning us? Do we keep up with the legacy of our forefathers, or we did something else with it? Or we destroyed the legacy, what we did? So we've got to ponder and think on that. We could keep up with the legacy of our forefathers, brought the deen to this country. We could keep up with the legacy, we could keep up with the legacy and do the good work and carry on with the good work and promote and increase the good work. After 25, 30 years, whoever comes will say, no, these people also did secure the deen and they looked after our iman also. So it's our responsibility to keep up with that legacy. Normally you find people, what they do? When time comes, then to complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah is angry with us. Why? because they think that our forefathers and great-grandfathers were very happy they were. They had a lot of nevats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were enjoying great nevats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of happiness also, in the form of wealth also, in the form of fame also, respect also, everything they had within themselves. Why was that? Because they were obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah blessed them with a lot of nevats Allah blessed them with. So when their generation went away, the next generation come after that now, they keep up with that life of the fathers, Allah keep blessed with their nemeth more also. But if they start changing their lives now, slowly, what happens now? Allah will take away one nemeth slowly, and doesn't feel the difference in their lives now. Next generation come after that now, if they keep up with the lifestyle of the forefathers, Allah bless them with nemeth again. But if they change their lives now, what happens now? Now nemeth gets less again, little nemeth. After whatever now, they start complaining. Our forefathers were like this. Our forefathers were doing something like this. But today Allah is angry with us. He's depriving us of the nemats, whatever it is. Not that. We have changed our ways. This why Allah took away the nemats. If we keep our ways according to how Allah wants us to do, Allah bless us with the same nemat, Allah bless us also. So we could turn back to the way of how our Nabi Islam taught us to live our life, then Allah, the nemat will come back to us also again. It's important to understand this part in our life. Then if we don't find any difficulties in staying on the right path of Iman. And we'll find, similarly we'll find many examples of people who followed the way of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to success. Wherever they went, they were successful, they were always fine. There was one pious person, his habit was always, whenever he goes to any places, he first goes to the Qabristan and he started to offer the dead people who were there. Because it was their ihsan that they secured the deen, and we got deen within ourselves, and we sell us up to them. One day he was going to one village he went. He saw it, went to the Qabristan and we sell us up for the deceased. He could not perceive it's a very pious person in this Qabristan also. So he went to his grave and made more sell us up for him now. When he sell us up for him, he saw now that this person in the grave is reading the Quran in the grave. Surprise, what's happening? So I asked him, how was your last moments in the world when you left the world? See, in the world, I love to read the Quran a lot. I came to read a lot of Quran in the world I read. When my time came to read the world, I never knew what I was in the Quran. I reached out to my soul, but I didn't know what was happening. Then house people got together. They started giving me the ghusl, kafan also. They made me tajiz, whatever they did, everything. And they walked away from the Qabristan. The two angels came and asked me three questions. So I answered three questions very properly, according to how Islam taught us and because I led the life of Iman in this world, I answered questions again according to that, I answered the questions. First, I would answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one that gave this answer now. Allah ta'ala got very happy with my answer, that this person of Iman, and gave the answer of Iman he gave also. So let me bless him now, honor him now. Ask him what work he wants, what mashgala he wants from now till the day of Qiyamah, I'll give him that, whatever his wishes now. So say, I told the Farishita Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the world I love to read the Quran. Allah can give me the opportunity to read Quran in my grave. My time will pass very well in the grave. I want a problem in the grave. So from that time Allah gave me the opportunity to read Quran in the grave. So he said, then this person in the grave told this person, read one time subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allah can pass the sawab to me. I'm prepared to give you the. I asked him, how many Quran do you read in the grave till today? 70,000 Quran in the grave are read till today already. So then the person in the grave tells the person outside, to read one time Subhanallah, and one time Alhamdulillah, Allah pass the sawab to me. I'm prepared to give you the 70,000 Quran, I'll give it to you. And I was very confused, what's happening here now? One time Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allah Akbar, and 70,000 Quran, I'm getting. I couldn't understand. So you ask him, why are you so generous? What's happening? Tell me the reality, what's happening? So he said, you are very fortunate. You are above the ground. You got life in your body and you got Iman in your heart. That one Subhanallah, one Alhamdulillah, one Allah got so much of value, only come to understand, come in the grave, you understand. I got Iman in my heart, I got no life in my body. So whatever I'm reading, I'm not getting sawab for it. It's just for past time, it is. So as long as we have got life in our body and got Iman in our hearts, value that life of ours which Allah has given to us, and make sure we do so much good work when our time comes to leave the world, because no regrets you don't have. So in other words, we got to live a life of consciousness and cautiousness in order we got to live. And when we look after ourselves, you know, sometimes what happens, shaitan troubles us. Sometimes makes us feel lazy sometimes. So now what's the difference between rest? What's the difference between laziness? You can understand that part. From our Kaimi, Anwar Rahmatullah Ali explains very beautifully, he says, the person who works with full capacity, he works. And then when rest, it's called rest now. The person don't work according to full capacity, and when it's rest now, it's called laziness, it's called. So when we fulfill rights of people, then that we're resting now. We don't fulfill rights of people now, and you don't go and rest now. This means we are lazy now, in other words. So we can understand that as Muslims, we should not be lazy at all. But we're always working to our akhirat and building our akhirat all the time. That's our responsibility as Muslims. And that's Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullahi alayhi. What a great alim he was, what a great Sufi he was. In that time, there was one person, he was a Madzub, his name was Behlol. So one day he went, the intention of going to meet Behlol and take his duas, whatever it is. His students told him that, where are you going to go to him? He's Madzub. He just disrespect you, dishonor you, put you to shame, whatever it is. He said, no, I'm going to meet him. Anyway, they went to go meet him. When he went there, he asked, who are you? He said, I'm Junaid Baghdadi. So who's Junaid Baghdadi? Said that Alim, the famous Alim in the town, will come to me for asking Muslim asylum and come for reformation with whatever it is. So such a big Alim, yes. So okay, now tell me that, how do you eat then? What's the purpose of eating? Now he started giving his whole explanation that you have to wash your hands first, then you have to bismillah, eat with the right hand and chew the food properly. And eat so much that one place for one section of the stomach is for water, one for food, one for air, for digestion. And after you finish eat, make dua again, wash your hands again, and think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Behlol got very upset. He said, you don't know what's the purpose of eating also now. Let me go away. So he got very worried. So what's happening now? I explained the whole etiquette of eating, and it's not acceptable by him. Anyway, he went again to meet him again. Students again, they don't dishonor you, disrespect you, put you to shame. Why don't you go? No. Went again, told him, who are you, Sam? Junaid Baghdadi, he said. And he said, that Baghdadi, you don't know how to eat also. So now, I was asking about it, you don't know the purpose of eating. So, how do you sleep? What's the purpose of sleeping now? So you must sleep with wudu, cleanliness, read some ayats of the Quran. They tasbih Fatimi, sleep on the right side, and make sure you're going to sleep. In the morning, when you wake up, you wake up in the morning. And he heard, he said, you don't have to sleep also. You don't know the purpose of sleeping also, you don't know. And start going away from there. So now again, same situation takes place again now. Again, went behind him again, look for him. Went behind again, asked, who are you? He said, Baghdad, the same, I don't know how to eat also, and you don't know how to sleep also. So you say you're a big alim, and you give lectures to the people, teach people a lot of things. How do you speak to the people? So I speak a soft voice to them. I speak according to understanding. I speak to them, make them understand whatever it is. So when he heard it, he said, you don't know that also now. So now he started to caught him, put him down, and explain what the reality of everything now. Now he explains here that eating means that you must eat halal food. After that, all etiquettes come after that. First, you must eat halal food. It is the essence of eating. Food must be halal at all times. Then he said, sleeping means, that doesn't mean that the etiquettes are explained. Sleeping means to have so much of rest that you can make ibadah at night, wake up at night, make ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the food you eat must give you strength to make ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rest must give you the strength of the body to make ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then after that, they said, the meaning of talking to people means that you will see the truth always. Don't speak whatsoever is not truth. Don't associate lies towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now he realized the essence and purpose of his what he was doing now. So we got to think that when you are doing things also, is Allah happy with what you are doing or not? our ibadat we are doing is Allah Ta'ala happy with our ibadat, or we're doing ibadat to show off to the people. Actually, the heart is clean, then make ibadat for to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The heart is not clean, make ibadat to impress people, show the people, that ibadat is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why it comes in the hadith, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will take account of three people first. From them, the first person will be a qari, person is the alim. Allah will ask him, I gave you this knowledge of the Quran and deen. What do you do with it? He said, I explained to people the deen, I read the Quran to the people, explained everything. And Allah said, you did it, to show the people you did it. And you got praise in the world for it already. What do you want from me now? You put him into Jahannam. And second person was a generous person, a wealthy person. Allah said, I give you so much of wealth. What do you do with this wealth? So I explained your path and had many people. Poor people help, what do they help? Orphans I help. Allah said, definitely you did all that. You did that to show the people. What the reward you want from me now? You put him into Jahannam, you put him. Third person will be a Mujahid. I'll give you the strength to go and what do you do with the strength I gave you? Say, I made a jihad in your path. Allah said, definitely you did that, but you did to show the people how brave you are. You got all the respect in the world already. What do you want from me today now? Put him into Jahannam. Abu Hurairah explained this. He said that one is the good actions you are doing. If it's not accepted, not the loss. But you're not accepted and going to Jahannam, you're going. It's more worse than it is now. So imagine if you say something in no sincerity, not accepting the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what will happen to us? So we've got to judge our actions also, if it's accepting the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We've got to do that also at the same time. Once we do that, then we're on the track all the time. For shaitan is our enemy, you know. Nafs is our enemy. When the nafs comes weak, the shaitan starts troubling and do wrong things also. It comes in the hadith also, a person is starting namaz, and slowly, whatever, before the namaz starts, the shaitan is busy making his plans for you not to read namaz. But you succeed, made your wuzu, and starting your namaz. Now when azan comes, the shaitan runs away. Makes a sound and runs away from there. But after he comes there again, again, when the command is given, again he runs away from there again now. And then after you start your namaz, and then there you start putting all the thoughts in your mind now to distract your namaz after that. So it's our responsibility, we don't get distracted by the whispers of the shaitan. Once in Chatta Masjid, Hazrat Mufti Sabah Rahmatullah Ali, should have majlis after Isha, should have majlis after Isha, and after Asr, two times they have majlis. Should have. And the students come to the majlis and ask questions, and attempt to understand whatever complications they got within themselves. And in the majlis, one person called Hafiz Tayyab Sahib, he was blind, and he was Khalifa Azam Madani Rahmatullah Ali. So he should come and sit in the majlis always. The students didn't have the guts to speak direct to Hazrat, tell him, you ask this question for us. He should ask the question, explain the question and answer to everybody. One student came and told Hafiz Sahib, asked Hazrat, that when we make wuzu, use extra water, what's the harm in that? That's how I answered that. As I said, it's called Israf. So I said, Israf, we all know Israf. Use extra water in wuzu. But I want to find out what is the spiritual harms in it. Imagine Hazrat was so intelligent, so understanding, and how we explain this to them and clear the doubt. He said, the first spiritual harm by wasting extra water and making wuzu is that your khushu and khushu namaz will go away. So imagine where what is happening and where the effect is after it. So and they can assume that Hazrat was a spiritual doctor also at the same time. He knew where the harms are. So we got to do our namaz with concentration we're going to make wuzu concentration we'll make. Come the hadith when we make wuzu concentration, Allah will wipe away the sins from the limbs of the body also. And now when you're parked and clean after that, what happens now? The thought will be towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan will have time to distract you in namaz now. Because we have a problem in our wuzu, we have a problem. So if we have a problem in our namaz, we have a problem also at the same time. It comes in the hadith, the person makes wuzu at home and he goes to the masjid to read namaz. For every step he gets one sawab, every step he gets one recognized being maaf, every step he stays being risen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the person now at home making wuzu with that concentration in mind, they were making wuzu in such a manner, my guna is being washed out now. I'm becoming park and clean, I'm becoming. I'm going to masjid to read namaz. In Dharmuddin, Mawlana Ilyas Sahab rahmatullah alayh, all knowing, one day at night was making wuzu. He made wuzu properly, washing wuzu according to Sunnah method, he made wuzu properly. After he wuzu, he got up, the leftover water in the lota, he drank it up, come the hadith of Shifa inside. After he made dua, Allah, Ya Allah, now I become pure and clean now. Now I'm fit to pretend the water make ibadat now. Question, what was the quality of his wuzu? What was the quality of his namaz after that? After making that namaz, he should make dua, Allah to accept his dua already. So we have that status within ourselves, Allah accept our duas also, Allah accept also. Hazrat Maulana Abrahul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, someone asked him, make so much of a dua we're making, why things are not changing, what's happening? All people making dua, things are not changing, what's happening? He gave a simple example, he said, there are two trucks, one truck from this side, one truck from this side, and both get opposite one another. This one can't pass, the other one can't pass also now. What will happen now? If one gives way, the other one will pass through. So one is a dua you're making, and one is a guna you're making. If you stop your guna, then the dua will get accepted. So now, this person after making wuzu now, he goes to the masjid, for example, now with that in mind, perception in mind, I'm going to the masjid, I'm going pure now, and every step I'm taking, my states are getting risen, I'm getting sabak for it, and the Quran is being forgiven to me now. How much is spiritually being increased now already now? When it comes to the masjid, it is a dua before entering the masjid. Allah of Tahliya Baba Rahmati is a dua. All open doors of Rahmat. In the masjid, the house of Allah Ta'ala subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's all Rahmat in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now it comes in the masjid with that dua making dua. Allah, I was meant for the masjid, Rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the masjid now. And start reading namaz in the state, start reading namaz in the masjid. How much won't you benefit in that now? His mind is towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now. And comes the hadith, a person who comes to the masjid and doesn't need namaz, nothing, just waiting for namaz to come. And what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? That you get a sawab of reading namaz in the masjid already. Now, if you're reading namaz, sunnah namaz you're reading, you can get a sawab for that, extra is going to sawab. Reading some tasbih, extra sawab for that. Reading the Tilawat of the Quran, extra sawab for that is getting now. Whatever he is doing, extra is going to sawab for that now. When jamaat starts now, reading namaz with jamaat, what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? Get 27 times more sawab than reading namaz alone. Now when he said namaz or jamaat reading now, he say Ameen, and his Ameen coincide with the Ameen of the Imam and the Farishtas, his gunas get forgiven already. This is how much of benefit he's getting now. The person sits in the masjid just to wait for the namaz to come. What Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say, Allah sent three Farishtas down, three angels down to him to make dua of his maghfirat. And make dua for barakat for him. Imagine this farishta was a Krishna of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is pure and clean, don't end the guna at all, they making dua for you. How much benefiting now? After namaz finish up now, what you do now? You sit in the masjid for a little while, read some tasbih, make some dua, some kunatla, whatever it is. Allah sends the same farishta down again, make dua for you again now. Now this person now is spiritually so healthy spiritually now. When he comes out of the masjid, Rahman now, he knows the Rampart is in the masjid. I'm cut off from the Rampart of the masjid now. So he makes dua to Allah. Allah now help Fazl on me, help me out. I'm sent to get entrapped by the shaitan outside the masjid now. Let me give me halal risk now. So this person, five times a day, he goes with that perception in his mind to the masjid. How much spiritual will increase? So we have that within ourselves. This hospital will increase so much. The shaitan won't have time to disturb us with whispering now in our heart at all. So it's up to us how we're going to look after ourselves and how we're going to promote our spirituality in such a level. When our time comes, leave the world, you've got no regrets. Because you know, we did our work properly in the world already. But no problem at all. Normally, people who have love for the world, they fear death a lot. Those people who love death, they don't know the value of the world in the heart of them. So up to us to understand how we want to live in this world, to make our life a better life in the year after or not. And remember, in the year after, all our decision will be made on our amal. Whatever actions we did in the world, on that decision will be made. Whether you go to Jannat or Jahannam will depend on amal you did in this world. If you did good amal in this world, your decision will be made for you to go to Jannat. If you made bad amal, you will go to Jahannam, you will go. So all these things, if we go to Pondo or make Muraqabah, then that will give us encouragement, give us a boost, how to do good actions and come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and value the iman Allah has given to us. The more we value the iman that's given to us, the more we are successful in this world also, in the hereafter also successful. And remember, every living creature on the surface of the earth has given them a heart. Every living creature has got a heart. But at the same time, what Allah says, I've given a heart to every living creature. But at the same time, the contentment of the heart has kept him. Allah has declared that, in Al-Qulub, Allah Ta'ala says, the more zikr you make of me, the more you obey my commands, the more I'll give you contentment of the heart also gives. So those people who are obedient to Allah, their heart is always content. They know we did the right thing already. We've got no problem with them. For example, you travel on a highway, traveling now, and you know there's a camera also. And you abide to the limit of the speed also, you got no problem. Abide by the speed, I got no problem. But the moment you're going to overspeed and come, then you go down, the camera is flashed on me now. I'll get the ticket now, I'll get demerit, whatever it is. Now you are worried. So in the world, if love is such a way that you obey all law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you got no problem now after. But the moment you trespass the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you are worried what's going to happen to me in the akhirat. So Allah gives tawfiq of understanding. And to make our life such a life that we live a life of honor and respect in this world also, and we live a life of honor and respect in the year after also. So we've got to make a schedule for ourselves how to conduct our lives daily. Master our 5 times namaz daily, we go to read. Read our tasbihs, morning, evening tasbihs properly also. Have some kitab reading at home, especially our Kabbalist kitab, you read from there, get a boost in our amal, whatever it is. And at the same time, make a little bit of zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And see whatever good avenue works we can get. Try to attain company of good people. They can think good also. Stay with good people, you think good. Stay with bad people, you're going to think bad. There's a formula everyone understands that formula. You don't have a rocket science brain to think all that. Everyone understands it. Whatever environment you're in, that's how you're going to think. If a person is a businessman, the children stay in the house, they also become businessmen after it. Person is the doctor, the children, as they grow up, they also become doctors because they stay in an environment, they come like that. Similarly, also, if you stay with good people, we have good thinking within ourselves. And by the way, we have good thinking, we'll progress with it. So, always try and see that we maintain good habits and good practices within ourselves and try and look after ourselves. One is to read fazail, virtues. Virtues bring about that worry and concern in you now to do good work now. Once that come, you're going to learn masail also at the same time. If you don't learn the masail, and only want to learn the fazail, you'll make mistakes you will make. So you've got to know the masail also how to conduct yourself. You learn the virtues of namaz, for example, and don't know how to read namaz, what will happen now? You make mistakes, no namaz, you're going to make mistakes. How namaz is going to accept it? So you go to learn the virtues, go to learn the masail also. So one person who's going in good company is going now, staying with the Sheikh and learning a lot of things. I got just by being a lot of ibadat now, doing namaz also, reading Quran, tilawat also, everything. When he goes to the masjid, whatever now, but he's got no knowledge of the masail, he'll read namaz in the pathway. He'll have difficulties in the pathway, he's reading namaz now. He's getting guna and stuff, sawab he's getting now. He doesn't know how to, after he missed one rakat, he doesn't know how to complete two rakats in namaz, he doesn't know how to complete two rakats in namaz, he doesn't complete now. What's the benefit now? So you go to learn a masail also together with it. Person reading namaz, for example, is reading now. A blind person walking past and pumps into him. What does when he gets angry, starts shouting at him? And see where you're walking, I'm reading namaz. Have a little bit of patience, he saw it, especially blind, so he shouldn't get angry at all. Because he doesn't know the masail, he makes a problem, blind they make. So you go to learn masail also at the same time, so it comes Masla is when the person is reading namaz and the blind person is walking and is going to fall into a well, for example. Now for you to carry on with the namaz is not correct. The termination of namaz is the same for falling into the well. There's somebody reading namaz, the snake going to bite somebody now. You can't carry on with the namaz now. You could terminate the namaz, help the person not to get harmed and then start namaz again after that. So you must know the masail also at the same time, then that will make your ibadah more perfect while making. Allah give us tawfiq of understanding and to plan our day and night in such a manner that we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every instance we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one person wasn't very, very pious, but he always said, mind was always accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They couldn't understand. One person asked him, how is it that was accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Say, every night I make khidmat of my parents every night. And after make massage with the body also, put oils on the feet also, on the head also. At the end, when they fall off the sleep, I catch the feet and rub it to my chest. I make dua with the seal of my parents, and I say, my God, all this. So he didn't have a lot of knowledge, but he had adab within himself. So we could keep understand, we as Muslims could have adab also at the same time, and we could make have love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and atamar Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then our duas also get accepted. When our duas get accepted, we find everything okay. So we could keep in mind that our duas get accepted, basically we could have halal earnings we would have. Have halal earnings, your duas get accepted very quickly. But if you don't have halal earnings, there's no guarantee your duas will be accepted so quickly. So Allah gives tawfiq, understand in the practice in such a way to live a life of iman, I mean, have a death of iman also, and ayah after also Allah raises us with iman, and Allah deal with us in such a way how Allah deals with people who got iman within themselves. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك وتبارك اسمك وتعالى جدك ولا اله غيره اللهم صل على سيدنا حبيبك محمد وعلى اله وصحبه وبارك وسلم اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا اصرف عنا عذاب جهنم إن عذابها كان غراما إنها ساءت مستقرا ومقاما ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم إنك عفو كريم رحيم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم اللهم اجعلك في نحورهم ونعوذ بك من شرورهم اللهم ارسلك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من غضبك والنار اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في أمور كلها وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم حبب لنا الإيمان وزين في قلوبنا وكره لنا الكفر الفسوق والنسيان واجعلنا من الراشدين اللهم توفنا مسلمين والحقنا بالصالحين غير خزايا ولا مفتونين اللهم اغننا بحلالك عن حرامك وأغننا بفضلك عمن سواك اللهم أغننا بالعلم وزينا بالعلم واكرمنا بالتقوى وجملنا بالعافية اللهم إنا نسألك الصحة والعفة والأمانة وحسن الخلق والرضا والقدر اللهم نسألك تمام العافية ونسألك دوام العافية ونسألك الشكر العافية ونسألك الغنى عن الناس ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم رحمين سبي گناكم عافر ماري جي چھوٹے بڑے سب گناكم عافر ماري جي عائنہ گناہ سے ہماری پوری پوری ہماری حفاظت فرمانے جي نفس و شیطان کی شروع فتن سے اور محل گور سرا سے ہماری پوری پوری ہماری حفاظت فرمانے جي اخلاق رضیلہ سے ہم کو پاک صاف کر کے اخلاق حمیرہ اختیار کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرمانے جي تمام بیماروں سے اللہ پوری پوری شفا عطا فرمانے جي بیماری چاہے جسمانی ہو چاہے روحانی ہو چاہے اخلاقی ہو ہر قسم بیماری سے اللہ آپ شفا عطا فرما لیجیے آئندہ بیماری سے ہماری پوری پوری ہماری حفاظت فرما لیجیے نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی امتی جہاں کہ اس کو ایمان کی مال کی جان کی آبرو کی عزت کی اولاد کے متعلق ان سب کی اعلیٰ پوری پوری حفاظت فرما لیجیے نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صحیح محبت اور عشق عطا فرما لیجیے کہ بس سنت کی بھی اعلیٰ پوری پوری توفیق عطا فرما لیجیے ایمان کی قدر دانی کی پوری پوری توفیق عطا فرما لیجیے ایمان کے تقاضا پورا کرنے کی بھی توفیق عطا فرما لیجیے ایمان کی حفاظت کا شکر صورت ہمارے آسان پیدا فرما لیجیے اور آمین رحم کرم کا معاملہ فرما لیجیے رحم کرم کا معاملہ فرما لیجیے جو پریشان حال کی پریشانی کو دور فرما لیجیے تو مقروض قرض ادا کرنے کی شکر صورت آسان پیدا فرما لیجیے جو گھریلو پریشانی رکاوٹوں کو دور فرما لیجیے جو معاشی و کاروبار پریشانی مبتلا ہے معاشی و کاروبار پریشانی رکاوٹوں کو بھی دور فرما لیجیے ہمیں اولادوں کی غموں سے ہماری پوری پوری حفاظت فرما لیجیے اولادوں کی خوشیاں ہم سب کو عطا فتا فرما لیجیے اور ہمیں آپس میں اتفاق اتحاد محبتیں پیدا فرما لیجیے حسن خصص سے ظالم ظلم سے ہماری پوری حفاظت فرما لیجیے ہر اختلاف انتشاب اور عمل سے ہماری حفاظت فرما لیجیے تمام بلیات معافات اور نظرت سے بھی ہماری حفاظت فرما لیجیے دشمن کی دشمنی سے ونخائی ونخائی سے ہماری پوری پوری حفاظت فرما لیجیے ہم سب کو عزت عافیت سکون والی زندگی عطا فرما لیجیے اور ذلت و رسوائی زندگی سے ہماری پوری پوری ہماری حفاظت فرما لیجیے ہم سب کو حلال برکت والی روزی بھی عطا فرما لیجیے اور نیک عمل کرنے کی بھی اعلیٰ پوری پوری توفیق عطا فرما لیجیے الرحمین ہر خیر و برکت عطا فرما لیجیے ہدایت کے بعد گمراہی سے ہماری پوری پوری حفاظت فرما لیجیے اور یقین کے بعد شک سے بھی ہماری پوری پوری ہماری حفاظت فرما لیجیے جو مانگا گیا وہ بھی عطا فرما لیجیے جو مانگنے سے رہ گیا وہ بھی عطا فرما لیجیے زندگی بندو جو نعمت عطا فرما سب نعمت ہم سب کو بھی عطا فرما دیجیے. یا الرحمین رحم کرم کا معاملہ فرما دیجیے. ہم سب کو اچھا اخلاق عطا فرما دیجیے. پورے اخلاق سے ہماری پوری پوری حفاظت فرما دیجیے. ہم سب کو اچھی سوچ عطا فرما دیجیے اور گندی سوچ سے ہماری پوری پوری ہماری حفاظت فرما دیجیے. سب کو اچھے اعمال عطا فرما دیجیے اور پورے اعمال سے ہماری پوری پوری حفاظت فرما دیجیے. ہم سب کو ایک اور نیک بنا دیجیے. ہم سب کو رحمت والے اعمال اختیار کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما دیجیے اور نحوست والے اعمال سے ہماری پوری پوری ہماری حفاظت فرما دیجیے اور ایمان میں قوت پیدا فرما دیجیے. ہمارے ایمان میں قوت پیدا فرما دیجیے اور ہمیں رحم کرم کا معاملہ فرما دیجیے. ہمارے دلوں کو پاک صاف فرما دیجیے اور عبادت کرنا ہمارے لیے آسان کرا دیجیے. ہمیں رحم کرم کا معاملہ فرما دیجیے. نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم تمام خیر مانگا اور سب خیر ہم کو اور پوری امت کو عطا فرما دیجیے. اور نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم تمام فتنہ سے پناہ مانگی ہم کو پوری امت کو فتنہ سے پوری پوری حفاظت فرما دیجیے. الرحمین رحم کرم کا معاملہ فرما دیجیے. دعا کو حد قبول فرما دیجیے. سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون وسلام علی المرسلین والحمد لله رب العالمین.